Hi, this is comedian Mary Santora, and you're listening to The Default Setting with Jess Falstick and Elizabeth Seaman. Enjoy.
To the default setting, where we find out what makes you tick, because we have ways of making you talk. I am your host, Jess Falstick.
And I'm your co-host, Elizabeth Seaman.
Elizabeth Seaman is our new co-host for the season. Gigi has decided to retire, so we wish her all the best. We love her very much still. She'll probably jump back on for guest things, probably. My cat is scratching my couch. Knock it off, asshole. Hey.
That's Soma.
Yeah, that is. That's Sad Face McPumpkin Eyes making a guest appearance.
Sad Face McPumpkin Eyes.
Our special guest today, we're going to pretend like we haven't already had on and I did not fuck up her episode, Stephanie Sherman. Hi, thanks for coming back.
Hello. You're welcome.
Thanks for being here. You're amazing. That's actually the reason I had Stephanie. I had her do one of our first episodes of the season was because this is the first time I've done any of the recording and the audio shit myself. And because she is on a podcast, our Big Brother podcast, Drinks with Larry, I figured she would be forgiving and understanding if I completely fucked up the whole thing because she's used to it.
Smart. I'm used to people fucking up. Have you listened to our... I'm just kidding. Larry does a wonderful job.
JK. Yeah, Larry's got like a full-on studio in his basement, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's actually his brother helped him. It's pretty boss down there.
That's awesome.
Nice table up, some lighting because they broadcast it on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. I always look like shit Monday nights when we record. So I'm like, can you drop me out of like the edge of the thing? He's like, you look fine.
That's the classic guy response. Like, oh, it's fine. You look fine.
What are you
fine.
Talking about? You have a face.
You have a face. That's all that matters.
What?
People can see your titties, right? All right, that's all that matters. It's fine.
We need the views.
Yeah,
whip
exactly.
out your tits.
We need the count. I know, that's why I'm thinking I'm going to like make a little like promo for this season where it's just going to be like the video portion of this. Because at one point, Elizabeth and I were doing an episode where I like basically flashed her and Brian Sternick. And I was like, well, yeah. This will draw
like
a lot
bending
of...
bending over to grab something. I was like,
there's my moves!
Titty's rocking everywhere!
I feel like it was the exact opposite of that. They're like, Stephanie, the more clothes you can wear, the better. Like, you're like our sister, so dear God, just park up from head to toe, please. Thank you.
If you could not reveal your gender in any way, that would be really great.
They put you in a burqa with a bag over your head, like...
So they have a... It's in Larry's basement, so it's kind of cold this time of year. So for the first couple like episodes when it got colder, we're down there and we had just have like hats on and like jackets and like, I mean, it was like freezing. My nose is running like halfway through and that just sounds amazing on audio. You're just like,
we can play with the gain on this.
So, no, but it's been fun. So.
Yeah, I imagine Larry's got his shit together way more than I do. But given the fact that that show is like, he and I have talked about it, it seems like, at least prior to him, his sobriety was a lot of just herding cats because there's so many of you on that show that it sometimes gets out of hand. He was telling me like he edits a lot, and I was like, I have never edited an episode. Which shows by the fact that I fucked up our first episode, so...
No, I think the first couple episodes, like, a first, you know, when I say couple, like, I don't know, there was a couple episodes that were not... We recorded, they recorded, I wasn't even part of it then, that's probably why they had to edit them, because they sucked. Just kidding. But he would be like, oh my God, I have to edit all this out, and they were just like, just leave it in there. It's funny. And he's like, it's offensive, and I'm not being part of that, you know? Slowly, we kind of got on, okay, we'll help Larry out, and we'll watch what we say a little bit. A lot of times, they just kind of, like, go off the handle, and they're like, blah, 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 blah. Nazis. We're like, what? Like, let's calm that down.
What was the topic of that day?
Yeah. Well,
they were talking about another podcast, it was just random, weird thought process. You know,
went
like
from zero to Nazi really fast.
They're like, squirrel, what? Yeah, okay.
I start yelling, am I the only one who took my ADHD meds today? Boy.
I feel like when you have that many people on a show, everybody has their own opinion and like their own like thought process of what they want to talk about or like their topics for the night. So you have like five people that want to talk about seven completely different topics, and it's just like pandemonium. I love it.
That's what I love about the show. I love pandemonium. Like, that's one of the things that makes me laugh the hardest is just when everyone's just like yelling. And it's not like mad yelling, but just like random, just like, yeah, like name calling, or just like you've got Aaron over here talking about karate, and then you've got Brian over here talking about sports, and it's going on at the same time, and then Larry jumps in with like something about Captain America, and like it doesn't make sense anymore after a while. Everyone's just talking.
So, it starts with the did you knows, and
well, it's funny because when they talk, like most of the time they'll talk about, like, you know, Aaron will be talking about karate, and they'll let him talk. And then Brian will talk about sports, and they'll let him talk. I chime in with something, and then it's just like, let's talk over Stephanie 100%.
Which is why...
boobs, it doesn't matter.
This brings me to one of my favorite new things about the podcast, which we talked about the first time we tried to record this, but I definitely want to talk about it now. One of their fans got Stephanie a bell. It's like a bell. Yeah. Whenever she's been talked over, it's the mansplaining bell.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
It's like an interrupt bell. If I feel like I'm being interrupted, if I feel like I'm being talked down to, I can hit it. It's just pretty much like a, hey, you offended me. Now we'll ring the bell. It's actually worked quite well. Brian hates it.
Well, he probably is the biggest offender.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Burton's not a huge fan either, but I like it a lot, so I use it to my advantage.
I love it.
As you should. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I love it just because, like, there'll be times where even, like, I feel like you'll either be reticent to hit it, or maybe you just won't think about hitting it, and then Larry will be like, hit the bell, ding the bell. Somebody will, like, be encouraged to ding the bell, or, like, sometimes, like, Aaron will grab it, and it'll be, like, the minority, like, interrupting bell, like, Aaron will grab it and start dinging it, but it's one of my favorite things on the show, because that was the thing, like, I think before you came on, I had this little bit of, like, female skepticism where I was like, what are these fucking assholes talking about, and then you came on, and I was like, okay, like, this is cool, And then, like, even then, like, the first couple times after you'd be, like, on, I was just like, oh, these guys need to stop talking over her. But, like, the thing is, if you know Larry, he's, like, one of the most, like, PC, open-minded, like, I mean, he's really, like, he's super, like, he's got his shit together, and he's not, like, the typical douchebag dude that, like, talks over everybody. Yeah.
Nah, he puts on, I feel like he's like, I'm tough, what? I'm tough. Apparently, like, we all known you since high school. Okay.
We know better.
We know what you're working with. Don't lie.
Like, you're a new guy, you have to live with it. Ha!
What were we talking about last episode? We were calling Brian, what was it, Interrupto? That was his X-Men name?
He was not too pleased.
I heard that.
I never brought it up again.
He's like, well, I'm never listening to that podcast anyway. And I was like, okay. That's fine.
Yeah, because he, like, it's already pre-recorded. He can't interrupt. What's the point?
I know,
like,
exactly.
So we were trying to, it turned into like this whole, like, Japanese type, oh, Mr. Interrupto. Larry and I were dying laughing. Brian was like, I hate you both. We were told him that was his super secret villain or superhero name. He just wasn't having any of it. But
is he still
Larry and I continue to bring it up.
Is he still trying to do is he still gonna do a sports podcast? Is that still going on?
He is.
Okay.
He is. He's setting up his studio. So I think he's waiting on like a soundboard or something that Larry is supposed to get. I don't know. They talk about it all the time. I just kind of tune it out. It has nothing to do with me, so obviously why would I listen? Right. And so I'm like, oh wait,
care about your lives? You want to fucking stop being so full of yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
Boring. So yeah, I think it's just like slow moving. They're just trying to come up with times when they can both like record, or Brian needed help setting it up so when Larry could come over, but you know, he's got stuff going on with work, and I just think the timing's off right now. But hopefully soon, he'll have his own podcast. And I'm going to go on it too, and yeah, we can talk about sports. We know a lot about sports.
Do you know a lot about sports?
Do the thing.
I think he specifically said, you're never coming on my podcast.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a lot about sports. He knows a lot. He's like, he's a trivia host, isn't he?
Yeah, he's fucking Rain Man.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what Rain Man. Okay, with sports information.
Yeah. So hey, just so that we can pretend like there is an actual episode going on, Stephanie has a default setting of indecision, we decided, which is ironic or something confusing. You were saying that you couldn't come up with a default setting idea. That's what gave you the idea to talk about indecision.
Yes. Yes. I felt like I was very indecisive on my default setting, and then started thinking about like decisions I've made throughout my life, and I was like, oh yeah, I didn't make a decision on that. Kind of, you like go with the flow sometimes, even instead of just saying like afraid to say the wrong answer or like the wrong, you know, direction that my life may go. I'm like, ah, we'll just see how this plays out. Horribly, it plays out horribly. So I mean, ground, make a decision.
So what's that?
I said, even if it's the wrong one, it could be the right one eventually down the road.
That's a good point. Yeah. I mean, have you found that it's more beneficial to make any form of decision versus stay indecisive and then suffer the consequences of not making a decision?
No, I definitely have come up with a, you gotta make a decision, whether, you know, because then you kind of have more of the control of whatever situation it may be. If you don't make a decision, you kind of are like giving that control to someone else or something else. And I don't like that feeling at all. Like, you know, as I grow older, I'm like, you know what? I'm an independent woman, you know, and it's just like woman empowerment. And I got my own house, my own car, like all this stuff. And I'm like, had I been like, oh, I'm not going to make any of these decisions, I wouldn't have any of what I have right now. I wouldn't be where I am in my job. But it took a long time to get there of like just kind of grabbing the bull by the horns and be like, okay, you can do this. Put your big girl panties on. Grow the fuck up. That's my speech I give to myself every morning.
I think I might need to hire you to call me every morning and give me that speech.
I got you, girl. I got you. But honestly, I mean, it took me, you know, I'm not going to divulge my age, but, you know, it took like a good 10 years of my adult life. So we'll save 25, maybe, to realize of like, hey, you know, this really isn't the working out for you. So you should probably buck up, stand your ground, don't let people walk all over you, you know, those type of things. Make a decision and stand with it. It's harder than just being like, oh, you know, well, I go back to like the people pleaser thing that, like Larry was talking about on his episode. And I'm like, oh, I'm a people pleaser. I'm like, no, I'm not really though. And then like I other people's, you know, I'm like, oh, I could do that. And I'm like, okay, you can't take someone else's default setting, Stephanie. Like, pick your own. But then I was just like, oh, it's indecisive. Yep, because I can't make up my mind for shit.
So would you say it's still your default setting, or it sounds like you've made strides to try to make it stop, I would say.
I feel like I've made strides to like not be indecisive and stick to my guns, but I feel like there's always like that big like doubt in the back of your head, like, did I make the right decision? Should I change my opinion, or should I change my stance on this? very wishy-washy. I feel like Ross Perot, you know, he's like, in, out, in, out.
That was an amazing reference.
It sounds like you've changed and you've, like, been able to be decisive where it counts and when it counts.
Yes.
A lot. So, that's good.
Yeah, no, so I just, definitely...
You know, if it's picking a topic for a podcast or deciding where to eat, like, that's way better than... You know, career-wise and stuff. So, you know, you got it where it counts.
Yeah, thank you.
That's what I was going to ask. Like, does it affect you, like, at a granular level more or more at, like, a large, like, you know, existential level? Or is it kind of both or has it always been both? I mean, where do you see the indecision happening most often now?
I think it probably started, like, you know, a couple years ago when I went through my divorce because... He was, you know, I don't want to say like he was controlling, but he kind of made a lot of the decisions, so I didn't have to when it came to like specific things. So we were in the process of buying a house, and it was kind of like everything was in my name, and it was kind of like the week before we were going to finalize, or like the day before, it was very, very like this window of opportunity to like be like, do you want the house or do you not want the house? Because, you know, if you're going to do it, you got to do it on your own, because I want a divorce. So I was like, holy shit.
Wow.
So it was pretty much like that big, like, bomb was dropped. And I was kind of like, okay, I'm going to do this. I have to do this. I can't be like, I'm not going to get a house because I don't have a man. You know, those type of things. Like, I needed a place to live. So I felt like it was just kind of... Yeah, okay, we'll do it. Hey, get down. I'm trying to talk on podcasting.
These fucking cats. These fucking cats, man. Oh, who is it?
I'm having a moment here, Egon.
Egon.
His name is Egon?
It's such a good name.
Oh, my God. Ghostbuster for the win.
He's like, what are you talking about, Mom? I'm sorry. So, I think that was probably, like, the moment that I really, really was like, okay, I can... Like, you have to make decisions. You have to make this on your own. Like, my mom can't make this decision for me, you know. My dad, brothers, like, nobody else. Like, it's just all on, it's all on me. So, I feel like that was the first one. And after that, you know, I would like to say it came easy, but it didn't. I was like, okay, I need a new car. Should I buy a new car or should I get a new car? Well, no shit, Stephanie. You need a car, so...
Yeah, do you really have another option?
Like, no. But I feel like once like big stuff happens like that, you just kind of like before I'd be like, well, someone else is gonna take care of it for me. I mean, I felt like, you know, not helpless, but like someone else will, it'll always work out because someone else would do it for you. Mm-hmm. So trying to like, you know, with my job, really pushing to get promoted and pushing to kind of be where I'm at right now, where I'm like an actual manager of, you know, my own store. I don't think I would have gotten there if I was still married. That's, you know, great. If I was still like kind of depending on other people to do those decisions and make those big moves and stuff like that for me. So it's kind of a blessing in disguise, I guess.
Yeah.
Felt like it hit the dominoes in a good direction. Like, made you then make a series of decisions.
Oh, it's amazing how what failed marriages will do for your life and your well-being. Like, I suggest everyone get divorced at least once in their life because it's amazing how much it, like...
I mean, I've never been married. I'm a child of divorce.
Yeah. So, see? There you go. That's something.
We're all friends here.
Everyone
get divorced. They got back together and then got divorced. So I was like, seriously, woman, just make up your mind.
Yeah, well, see, it's hereditary then. Right? You know, this is all your fault.
Oh, we got the root of it right now.
I learned it from watching you.
Oh, that's hilarious. We say that to her all the time, too, when we do. We're like, Mom, I learned it by watching you. And
she's like, that's fantastic. So, I mean, it sounds like you're on the upswing then. It sounds like, you know, you're aware of the issue. That's always the biggest thing, is being aware of sort of that. And, you know, when you're kind of thrown into a situation where you have to sink or swim, I think, you know, you do have that realization of no one else is going to do it, so I have to. And then that sort of stays at the forefront of your mind. Like, you're just kind of always aware and furthermore realizing that there isn't – once you become an adult, there isn't anyone else that's going to make your problems go away. You've got to sort of do it. Yep. So.
Clearly, you guys haven't met my dad.
Uh-oh. Your dad is like, your dad is like 12. Your dad is like, I think he was a child when I was born. He's a very young dad.
51.
I know, that's young for a dad. That's like 14 years older than me. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was really cool having the young parents, man.
Yeah.
Probably why they got divorced, though, because they got married when they were 19 and 20 years old.
That'll do it. How old were you when you got married, Steph?
I was 21, so I was drinking heavily when I did it. No.
I will say, though, that I will give you credit. I had so many friends growing up in rural Ohio that got married before they couldn't even have alcohol at their wedding. That's how young they were.
I think, yeah, my parents were both too young to drink.
Yeah. That's unfathomable. And
my mom was also pregnant, so
probably
shouldn't have been. They didn't drink, though. They didn't drink, like, on purpose. My mom has since revised her opinion on that. My dad has not.
Was it a religious thing or?
No.
Yeah.
No. My dad just never felt like it. He still doesn't. I've never seen. I saw him take a sip at a champagne toast once or twice.
And it was scandalous.
Tops. Other than that, he's just like, no, thank you. And I'm like, Dad, you're so smart. You save so many calories. It's a good call you're making.
So much money.
Like, it's all the money, all the calories, and I'm just like, oh, I love beer so much.
Speaking of, we mentioned briefly Larry's sobriety. Are you guys all sober too now? What's going on there? Like, what's going on with drinks with Larry?
So my thing is, we record on like a Monday night. I work 6 days a week. I get up at like 3-4 in the morning. I can't drink at night. I mean, I'm sure I could go over and have a beer, but I'm so tired after work as is that I'm just like,
yeah, if you had one beer, you'd fall asleep.
Exactly. Or I would be like, I need another one. No.
Give mama her special juice.
A slippery slope.
Yep. So right now with like work the way it is, I haven't been drinking on the show. Burton drinks, Brian drinks, Aaron drinks. He comes up with, you know, I don't know, like 40s of a Corona or like those tall boys, not 40s. That was real.
I don't know these people, so I don't know.
One of the real tall, it's just like a tall boy of like Corona or... Yeah, it's like a big can. I thought those were 40 ounces, though.
I would think.
I think some of them are and some of them aren't. Yeah. Like, it's like the trend, like the PBR ones that are like taller than a regular can, but that's not a tall boy technically.
There's like tall boys and then there's Paul Bunyans where they just have like the really medium big boys. Cans. Yeah, no, well, it's just funny because I continually hear guests on the show calling Larry out. They're like, why is this called Drinks with Larry and no one's drinking on this show? What the hell is going on?
He doesn't want to drink his feelings anymore.
Yeah, he doesn't. Well, he drinks coffee and such, but we all still drink. And it's kind of funny when we'll like hang out like after the show, or you know, if we have like game night or something. Like we're all just like pounding beers, and he's over there drinking coffee. Quite fun.
Old man, hey. Larry.
Yeah, fiend. That works too. But
he's the best. He's a. He's loving it, so he's seems to be, you know, better. I really don't think he was that bad, but I think, you know, for him it was something that he needed to do. So we're just all super supportive.
Oh, sure, yeah, absolutely. No, and I get that. I have days where I'm just like, I need to stop this shit, and then I'll go to my Christmas party last night, and they'll have like free champagne. I'm like, well, I mean, it's free. I can't just not.
No, I totally, I'm with you. But I feel like it's after, so I don't get to drink because of work.
Yeah.
Like, normally, like, we'd be like, hey, I don't have to work tomorrow. Do you guys want to go out for a couple beers? But, like, super. But now that I'm working, like, all the time, when I do get to drink, it's like I'm, like, JoJo the Happy Clown and have to have all the alcohol, in my mouth. I want to get white girl wasted. Like, let's fucking do this. And then the next morning, I'm like, well, that was a horrible decision, Stephanie. What is wrong with you? You have no self-control.
That's like, I came home last week and we all went out and We shut it down at like 11, so I was like, okay, this should be fine.
You shut it down at 11.
Well, yeah, you guys might have kept going. I shut it down at 11, but then we got up at 4.
Because your mom told you to go to bed.
Yeah, my mom told me to go to bed, and I got up at 4, and I was still drunk, and I was just like, this is bad. This is, like, so bad. So, like, yes, I understand completely the idea. Well, and that's the thing, too, doing stand-up comedy. Like, you do it all week long. Like, you do it at night. And usually you don't get home until, like, 1 or 2. And then you have to get up and go to work at, like, 5 or 6. And,
and you've been hanging out, like, in a bar doing it. It's not, yeah, it's not like you're just in some...
Yeah.
Oh, I'm at a bar.
You're not at a library doing stand-up. Yeah, you're at a bar.
Specials and... I want to relax a little bit before my set.
You're like, oh, look at this guy checking out books, nerd.
I know.
And then you look over on the other side, look at this guy checking out beers. Smart.
Smart gay. Yeah, no, it's. I completely understand the idea of, like, when you have to actually function, drinking becomes far less appealing. Which I'm thankful my boyfriend does not drink at all during the week, which makes it that much easier for me to not drink during the week, because...
You haven't gone to, like, Wednesday night karaoke at the...
Yeah, no, and that's the thing. Like, there's comedy and karaoke, and I need to go do that shit. Once I start doing that shit, again, I'll probably, like, destroy my liver and put on 50 pounds, and it'll all be, like, gone. But for right now, that I've been, like, a shut-in, and I haven't really done anything, that has made it much easier to not drink. You're working 6 days a week and getting up so early. Is it because that started with the management job?
Yeah, so we have, like, an early crew, and I think it's kind of, like, so we get there a couple hours before we actually open the store, just to, like, clean, straighten, really push freight to the sales floor, because once we're open, like, we are so busy these days that, like, you can't get anything done. Mm. So it's just kind of, like, a process that we have, and so, because no one wants to do a late night.
Yeah.
Like, an overnight, so we just find it easier to go in the morning, and I work with, like, you know, middle-aged, older women. Mm-hmm. There's very few, like, my age or younger. Mm-hmm. And if they are, they're in school, and then they have, like, restricted schedules and all this other stuff. So we kind of, like, base that off of what they want to do and what the majority of the group wants to do. So they're like, I'll get up early because, you know, I'm 100, and I get up at 4 in the morning.
I want to see as much of the day as I can before I die.
Exactly. But it's also, I don't have to do that. I just choose to, because I am so anal about my job. And we're, like, my store is kind of like, they call it the quote-unquote flagship. So it has to be perfect. Oh. Like, that's pretty much what they told me. Like, it has to be perfect. We set the example for everybody. So if I'm not there for a day, it seems to be like, oh, we decided not to do this.
Oh, people start slacking.
But exactly. They're like, well, you know, I didn't know, and I wasn't sure. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I feel like I have to be there every day, 24/7, so I can get these people, like, on track.
We can bleep it out, maybe.
That'll be my first edit. It'll be my first edit. We'll do the bell. We'll ding for, like, when you say the name of the company. It'll be like, ding, 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 ding.
I'm curious.
I work at Pacatan's in Westlake.
I was going to guess
that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's super cool, though, that, like, you're the manager of the flagship. Like, Pacatan's, for anyone who's listening to this, which is probably 3 people, and all of them are from Cleveland, but for any random chance that someone is not from Cleveland listening to this, Pacatan's is, like, a huge fucking deal. Like, there's, like, how many in Northeast Ohio? They're, like...
Right now, I think we have, like, 35 stores altogether, but there's probably 12 in the, like, Cleveland... You know, Northeast Ohio area.
Okay.
And Pacatan's is so much better than Michael's and Hobby Lobby and everything. I remember I was even at the University of Akron, and I had to get supplies for shit because I was taking these art classes, and there's no Pacatan's down there. And I'm like, no, fuck this place. I'm not going to these other
What the
stores.
Hell kind of world
I
is
I
this?
I would come home on the weekends and go to Pacatan's. I'm like, I will get my shit later. I don't trust these people.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, we had Joanne growing up. It was, like, Joanne Fabrics, and now it's just Joanne. And I've been to them since, like... So I was one of those, like, DIY, because I got married so young and we didn't have any money. I was one of those DIY wedding bitches that had, like, the fucking glitter, and I made my own bows, and I had silk flowers and, like, all that shit. And I probably smurfed between like 20 different packet hands to try and find like all the shit that I needed. And then one day I was like, oh, fuck it. Like, because I think maybe they were all closed or I wasn't near a Pakatans, which this I think is hard to do in Cleveland to not be near a Pakatans. But there was like a Joanne right there. And I walked in and I'm like, what is this shit? Like, it wasn't, I don't know. Like, they didn't have half the stuff that I needed. And I don't know. For like, if you're a super crafty, like, Pakatans is like, I've never been there and not been able to find. If anything, my problem is I spent a half an hour either trying to find someone to tell me where the hell to find what I'm looking for, or I just wander because I'm like being super weird and introverted and don't feel like asking someone, and it just takes me like at 45 minutes to find what I'm looking for.
And then you get ideas to do other stuff.
That's the problem. If you do that too much, then you spend your paycheck.
Oh, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah.
What I do that, I literally have like in my closet, there's like a bin full of art supplies for things I bought at Pakatans.
Oh my god. See, now my wheels are turning. I want to buy everything. I want to buy markers. Oh, like, I want to buy
some more like fucking Mod Podge.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna hobble some shit together.
Are you crafty, Seth? So
I started my job like 2 months after I graduated high school with Pakatans.
Oh wow.
I've been there for like probably 17 years.
Yeah.
18. Yeah. So, and there, I loved going there. My friend got me there, worked there. She kind of got me the job, but I was doing my scrapbook for my graduation. You know what I mean? Where people take cute photos, and you're like, I was so cute, this lady. Look at this. And look at me now. And and it just kind of was like, I was opened up into this new world of, you know, jewelry making. So then I started, like, making my own jewelry. And then that was, you know, like thousands and thousands of dollars. I was like, oh my god, I need a job to support this horrible habit.
I have an addiction.
Yes. So I got father, and it was kind of like, well, you know, are you going to school? What are you doing? Do you want more hours? You know, I was like, okay, I'll work more hours. You know, it probably should have been like, no, I should probably go to college. But I was like, ugh, I got time.
Well, it seems to have worked out for the better anyway, so.
Yeah, so, but it's actually funny that you said the thing about the DIYing your wedding, because obviously working there when I was getting married was, like, probably the best thing, because there was probably 30 other people that work there that have an opinion about how your wedding should be.
Ooh.
And they'll just do. They would just be like, oh my god, you need these flowers. Oh my god, you should do this. You know what you need? You need this. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, yeah, okay, cool. Hence the indecisiveness, where I'm just like letting 30 old women plan my wedding. I'm like, perfect. But back then you didn't have Pinterest. You didn't have, you know, like these like Ipsy and like all these other like websites that you could go to like try and find cool stuff.
Exactly.
So I feel like you just had to bounce it off of the people that I worked with, and they're like, okay, so my wedding that was probably 142 years ago, and it worked out marvelously. I'm like, yeah. Okay, let's do it.
Did you have Precious Moments figurines on your cake?
Oh god.
No.
I'm trying to think of like an old lady thing. Like that was like definitely my friend, one of my best friends did. She had like a lot of things where I was
no.
Oh, okay. Well, that's your wedding, so I'm not gonna poo-poo that.
But, and yeah. Okay. Yes. Okay. No, I had it was like a tropical theme because my ex and I, we really liked Jimmy Buffett and the beach and all this other stuff. So it was more of a tropical theme. So there was just, like, really pretty, like, orchids and purple flowers on our cake. So, ooh. From what I remember, I was pretty shit-faced at the wedding. So
hey, that's how you get through that.
There's pictures of the cake cutting. I don't remember it. But, yeah.
See, my thing was I didn't want to get too trashed in my wedding because I knew someone was going to help me pee in my dress. And I really didn't want to have that experience, which eventually I had to break down and do. And then I just decided I was going to just slam shots for, like, the last hour of my wedding. And TLDR, I almost got a DUI on my wedding night, which I have told the story on here. I can tell you that story offline. It's actually a very good story. Because both my husband and I at the time were completely shithoused and decided it was a really good idea to drive to another bar after the wedding through Brecksville, Ohio, which, again, if there's any random straggler that's not from Cleveland, the one thing you should know about Brecksville, Ohio is it's very white and very suburban, and anybody who is even so much as doing 3 miles an hour over the speed limit will get pulled over because they spend a lot of money on cops because there's no crime and the cops just, you know, look for reasons to nail you for things. So
that's a blue car, pull it over, that's a blue one.
Apparently red ones get pulled over.
That's what I heard.
Do you have a red one?
I have like a dark red one now.
Do you get pulled over?
I've never been pulled over.
That's good.
I thought that was like a subtext of like, I've gotten pulled over a lot.
It's not my fault, guys.
No, you just have people that you have people that randomly crash into your car. That's like, what keeps happening to you.
I talked about it like a few episodes ago.
Yeah.
I just been hit sitting at a red light twice. I got taken out by someone making an illegal left-hand turn and they like totaled my cars.
Aww. I think her car is made of magnets. Your car is made of magnets. That's just what's going on.
Probably. I recommend, but that's, we were talking about before, you're talking about when you have to buy a car. I hate car shopping.
I love it.
I hate it so much. No, yeah, Jess is so just chill about it. And I'm like, no, I have to make the best possible decision. And I need the one that I want with the least miles. And where am I going to get it? And how much are they going to charge? And I go a little crazy, and I just want a car that's going to last me forever so I don't have to do this again.
Yep.
I recommend the Honda CR-V.
I have a Honda.
Ooh. I like that high safety rating because people keep hitting me.
It's actually funny because I had a lease, and my lease was up this summer. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this on my own. I'm going to either lease a new car or buy a new car. But, you know, I'm going, I got my money saved. I'm doing this on my own. I don't need like my dad there. I don't need my brother there. Like, I'm good. And I get there and I have a holy shit panic moment of like, I can't do this. I can't do this. Oh God. Cause he's like, what do you want? I'm like, if it had a moonroof, that'd be cool. And I'm like, no, Stephanie.
That's not what we talked about.
Focus. So, needless to say, I have a Honda Civic with a moonroof.
Nice. You got what you wanted. Way to go.
I did, because I asked for it. Now, but I mean, it's like I just leased a new car. I should have bought it because I love it. It's like a spaceship inside. There's all sorts of lights and buttons that I had worked all day and then gone and, you know, tried to turn in my lease to get this other car. And so I was very tired by the end of it. So I just kept saying, okay, all right, yeah, that's cool. Okay. So he was like telling me all these instructions of like, you know, the keyless entry and all this, like all the key fobby things and what this does. I wasn't listening to fucking jack shit. I was like, I am so fucking tired. Just, I want to leave this building.
Yeah. I'll sign the thing. Leave me alone.
Yeah. That's pretty much. That's like when I went car shopping before I moved out here. And like, I don't know. I grew up with parents who like bought new cars. Like maybe this just isn't normal, but I feel like they bought new cars like every 2 years or something. I don't even know. I think they just bought old shitty used cars because we were poor as fuck. And so as soon as that one would die in 2 years, we'd have to like go buy another one. And so like, I was just used to literally sitting in a car dealer for like 4 to 6 hours, like while they haggled and dealt with the paperwork and did all the bullshit. And so for me, like, you know, if the whole experience takes like 2 to 3 hours, that's like pretty standard fare, you know what I mean? Just because that's usually the way it goes. Like, you go out with stuff in mind, but then, you know, you also like, you have to haggle. You just have to. And then you have to be willing to walk. And you have, you know, this is a little shit. Who's that, Egon? Is that Egon?
Yeah,
oh, there's
a kitty ear.
It's an ear. Look at him. Oh, look at his stripes. Hi, stripes.
This is great. Oh, pretty Egon. Green eyes.
Yeah, I'm showing my boyfriend because he was like, I want to see. Do you just have Egon?
No, I have Willard and Egon.
Aww.
Three more casting.
Hi, Kitty.
Oh, look at you. You're so
great
cute.
Radio. Oh, we're all just going to awe. Yeah. Everyone deduce from the amount of awing how cute this cat is.
I will post a photo of him as the album art for this episode so that everyone can get a feel for how what we're looking at.
I look like in Ghostbusters when they go do
re
Egon. That's like a Buster. Egon's my favorite.
Yeah, when we met, when we were my friend found him on a patio bar, and I had been talking about getting another cat, and Ken was like, or my ex was like, no, and I was like, oh my god, we need him. Willard's lonely. And he's like, it's fine. I was watching a lot of Ghostbusters at the time, I'm guessing, and it was even so that's why I picked the name, because my ex was like, I'm not naming him, we're gonna get rid of him, we're gonna, you know, he's gonna find a new home. I'm like, he's ours and we'll love him forever.
And you will like it.
Where'd Willard come from? what's the name?
So when we got Willard, we actually thought it was a girl, and we named her Willow. And then we felt like when we got him, we were told he was a girl. We took him to the vet, I think, to get declawed or something, and they're like, well, this is a straight-up dude. Like, this is the
your ball right now. Yeah.
I was like, do you know
this, like, penis situation?
Then they're like, oh, okay. So then I'm like, well, I don't think we can call him Willow. You know, and then we talked about, like, the movie Willow. And like, well, that was, you know, was that a boy? And I think so. So then we're like, okay, we'll just call him Willard. So for the most part, when he was younger, though, we called him, like, Kitty. or Willie, or I don't know. There's just, like, a whole bunch of random names. Very rarely do we call him Willard.
It's funny, like, to me how, like, yeah, you give cats names, which are, yeah, I know, it's not like you put them on a certificate or make them legal or anything, but then you don't even call them, like, by their, like, because Smithers is, like, Smeef, 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 Smorf, Smoof, Moof, Moof, like, I call her so many different fucking things. And then we were just saying how Elizabeth named Soma Sad Face McPumpkin Eyes. So
that's such a, like, a sad little face, and she's got these big orange eyes.
Yep.
She's sad face with pumpkin eyes.
Sad face pumpkin eyes. Yeah, so
Chloe's just Chloe.
Yeah.
Probably also call her Chonk.
Yeah, she's big and fat. Well, it's funny because I'll call her Clobot, and then Adam just calls her Bot, because I mean, she is kind of like a bot. She's like, you know, she'll piss you off and she'll fuck with you and, like, be all like fucking aggro and shit. That's how my boyfriend is. It's really crazy too, because he gauges, like, life events around, but he's like that with music. So, like, I'll tell him, like, oh yeah, I saw Green Day once. I think it was back in, like, 2002. He's like, oh, that was the Pop Disaster Tour. Was that on Tuesday? I think it was, like, at 8 p.m. And I was like, I have no fucking idea. Like, and he's like, yeah, I think it was. And then I was, like, looking up. I'm like, holy shit. And he's like, yeah, their third song in the playlist or their set list was, like, you know, this or whatever. And I'm just like, Jesus God, man. How do you do that shit?
That's funny. Adam is such, like, an album music listener, too. Like, he'll be playing something. It's just like, no, we're listening to the whole album and we're listening to it in order. Yes. Like, it was some band that I liked. And I'm like, oh, you play the one song? And he's like, oh, it's on there. Like, it'll get there. Yeah. In its own time. Because not ready yet. That is not when it was intended to be listened to.
Yes.
I didn't say anything because he was like, I'm still in control of music. I just was laughing about it inside.
We have, I have some records that I've been listening to, and, like, vinyl. And the it's actually funny because I was watching High Fidelity. And this is, like, John Cusack movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. He's like obsessive about, like, you know, records and his, like, top five and all this other stuff. And it was, I think the stars were aligning because my phone dinged and it was like, you can get tickets to go see John Cusack in Akron in February.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Is it for Gross Point Blank?
It's for High Fidelity.
High Fidelity, okay.
You can watch High Fidelity, and he's going to be there for, like, a meet and greet, and I was like, oh my god, and it's on my birthday, so I felt like all this money was in mind, and I totally bought tickets, and I'm like, this is my Christmas, it was like Christmas slash birthday present together to myself, so I'm super excited, but anytime anybody talks about like vinyl or albums, that kind of reminds me of that movie, because he's so like anal and he's so like, no, you have to just, are you listening to the music? Like, are you feeling it? Are you feeling? I'm like, I just want to hear that one popular song that everybody likes right now.
Right.
Just to see their head.
Which is what. That's like my ex, we used to go to like, we were super into like indie bands and stuff, and we would go to like shows, and I'm not a huge fan of going to shows unless it probably doesn't make any sense, but like, I don't see the point of going to a live show unless you can see the actual band. Like, you can see them with your eyes.
Because otherwise, it's just listening to it.
Exactly! Like, you're paying money. You're standing in a loud room. People are stepping on you. It's hot. Like, you're spending way too much on drinks. Right. And you're listening to the same thing you could have listened to when you're at home. Like, I just don't understand the point of just going.
I feel like, as I become older, I become the person who's, like, okay with being in the back instead of trying to get to the front,
oh,
too.
Really?
I'm like, yeah, I like it back here. I can actually see. I'm only 5'3". I'm like, I think I can actually see better from the back. And Nolan's going to spill my beer.
True.
And I'm not sweating profusely because I'm surrounded. I'm in, like, in a human sauna. Like, I've accepted it. And, you know, you can see, you can hear. Like, it's fine.
I'm just the douche that, like, I will pay more to sit in the pavilion at Blossom now in this day, you know, in this stage of my life, or pay more to be in like the pit, because it's just like, I've just been going to concerts my whole life where like the people are like this big, or we're sitting in like obstructed view. Like, that was like, we went to fucking Toronto to see Arcade Fire last year, and we were sitting literally in the rafters of the Air Canada Center, and we had an obstructed view seat. And, like, basically, we were just listening to the band, and my boyfriend and his best friend are high-fiving each other, literally, because they think it's the most amazing experience. And I was like, we drove 4.5 hours, and, like, this is just stupid. Because the other thing is, too, we weren't even, like, just spending the weekend in Toronto. We drove up, got an Airbnb, like, got dinner, went to the show, and then left the next morning. And I was like, my weekend is gone, and I would like it back.
For obstructed view.
For an obstructed fucking view. Like, and I think, like, yeah, if you're a super audiophile, it just seems to me like either stay home and listen to your music or invest in, like, actually getting to physically interact, like, have eye contact with the lead singer or some shit, you know? Like,
It was so cool for my birthday last year. My dad got me the VIP tickets to see the Decemberists.
Aw, that's right.
Like, got to go early for a special, like, little private concert with the band, where it's just, like, at, like, 30 people or something, and you get, like, an autographed poster, and you get to just, like, go and have a drink, and then you get to get into the concert for free. It was at the Agora, so, you know, there's no designated seating. Except if you pay for that or whatever. So you got to get in first, but before that, they were just like, they're all up on stage, and we are in the empty space, and you get to go just stand up right at the gate, and they're like, what songs do you guys want to hear? And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, like, dying. Free Bird. Oh, no.
Yeah, Free Bird.
Free Bird. So wait, are you an audiophile, Steph? Do you like a lot of music?
I love music. Any type, I pretty much listen to anything. It's actually funny, like, I used to be like, I don't listen to, like, country, but I've slowly become a country fan.
Okay.
Only certain, like, old country, you know, like, the Highwaymen, some Waylon, you got some Merle.
Yeah.
Some songs, like, that come up about nowadays that I'm like, oh, that's not too bad, but I won't go to, like, a country concert. But actually, that's not true. I went to see Chris Stapleton at Blossom, and he was amazing.
Okay.
And he's just an amazing, like, songwriter.
Never heard of him.
Artist. But, yeah. So, but, yeah, I listen to, like, everything. I feel like if it's, like, I'm at home, like, music has to be playing, which is actually right now with it being Christmas music time. At work, we listen to Christmas music 24/7,
okay.
And then I come home and I have my own, like, awesome playlist of Christmas music, and then I listen to it again. But then I just saw this thing on the TV about Christmas music making people depressed, so I was like, oh, maybe that's Maybe that's too much Christmas music for me.
Oh my God. Yes, I get depressed listening to Christmas music. I didn't realize this was a thing. I thought something was wrong with me. Like, it actually makes me, I think it's nostalgia is for me. Right. It's like, I get sad and I think about being like a kid and like, I'm not a kid. You know, I think that's what it is for me.
Simpler time.
Yes, exactly.
I think there's just some Christmas songs that I hate so much that make me want to kill myself because I can't kill the people singing them.
Yeah, that's true.
How do you guys feel about the baby? It's cold outside. Debacle going on.
Well, okay.
Have you heard of
it? Yes. So,
it's literally always been a really rapey sounding song.
But,
like, what?
But here's the thing. Like, honestly, first of all, I just think it's PC culture in general needs to die. But that's a whole other can of worms. I think that people are going to interpret shit however they're going to interpret it. So I don't know. That's just horseshit. Basically. Don't ban songs. I don't know. We're getting into a slippery slope of, like, freedom of speech is getting, like, excommunicated from society. But my favorite thing is, you may have seen this, I know probably Elizabeth has. I posted last year, there's this new trend that, like, started.
The reindeer boob.
Reindeer boob.
Yes. So I posted a picture of a woman's boob dressed like a reindeer, and I was like, this should be called Kara boob. Ha 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 ha. And I hashtagged it reindeer boob, which was a mistake because now it has like 900 likes. And I'm not exaggerating, I've gotten 300 followers in just the last week from this fucking picture. And most of the people think it's my boob, even though I've repeatedly said, stop fucking, like, saying creepy shit about this woman's boob. This is a picture from Etsy, for God's sake. Calm down. But then the best part was that someone commented, like, oh, but we can't listen to Baby It's Cold Outside, but people can post pictures of their boobs. And I was like, okay, this is just getting entertaining now, so...
What more can I type? Must fuel fire.
Yes, exactly. And then, like, there was, like, other people that were like, oh, we can't post pictures of breastfeeding on here, but this is okay. And I'm like, I don't know what sort of war you're trying to wage right now. This is not even my boob. Like, I don't know what's happening.
Like, reindeers eat carrots. I don't know why you need to breastfeed it.
Now I actually want to post a picture of my boob with like a carrot like in the nipple. Yeah.
Like, just like tuck a carrot under it.
Trying to jam a carrot like, into my nipple, just like bonk, bonk.
That's gotta be someone's fetish, I'm sure.
I'm gonna get some hits on that for sure.
Titty fucking.
I said sorry, yeah, that veggie titty fucking.
Entirely. Wait, what?
Like, oh yeah, next time it's like your aunt says she's gonna bring a veggie tray to the holidays, you're gonna be like, oh no, where have those carrots been? What did that cucumber do before?
Oh, God.
Funny.
Celery nips. I don't know.
I was talking to this person, I was drinking and they were talking about this song. And I don't know why, but it just reminded me of, do you remember, like, Ice-T's song, Cop Killer?
Yes.
And how they, like, were trying to censor that and, like you know, all this stuff. And I'm pretty sure, I'm just like, if that song can be allowed, I feel like we can talk about, I mean, it's just a song, people. It's just a song. But I don't know, like, obviously I'm drinking. I don't really remember my point. But I was like, if they can have this song, we can have this song. And they're like, we, them, like, how much have you had?
Who, yeah, what we, them?
Like, well, like, I'm on the T side, but I also like this song about, you know, this guy trying to, sometimes you just gotta do what you gotta do to get a girl to stay over, or guy.
Well, and you know, that's the thing, like, I love too how like people have really dug into the history of what this song was about and like social norms like, in
the
and
context
all this shit
and everything.
To try and like defend the fact that it's not rapey. But yes, to your point, also like many marriages have formed out of like dudes being persistent. You know what I mean? So like at some point, you know, chill the fuck out. But yes, it's funny you mentioned the us and they elements of music. I was literally just before we all got on this podcast reading, and I think this is a pretty old article at this point, but it was an article about how Ace of Base is actually like a band full of Nazis, and I Saw the Sign is like a pro-Nazi song, like it's a Nazi recruitment song.
No, I love that song.
Years ago, somebody brought that up. I'm like, you're out of your fucking mind. They're like, no, they're straight up Nazis. I'm like, They're from Sweden, aren't they?
Yes, and so I guess the one guy, one of the guys from the band, and this guy had, like, he had, you know, he cited his sources and all this shit. One of the guys from the band was in a former Nazi punk band, and, like, he, like, posted the lyrics from one of their songs, and it is definitely, like, white hoods and N-words and just, like, all this, like, gibberish. But yeah, I only started reading, like, the first paragraph of it, and I don't know how to feel about it, because, like, he's got so much stuff that, like, cites and supports, like, his opinions, that I'm like, okay, there's actually maybe some merit to this argument. I don't know. It seems tough. I haven't actually gotten to the part about how the song specifically is, like, a Nazi recruitment song, but, but I have at least read why he thinks that Ace of Base is Nazis, which is a new...
I was literally excited, like, this week, because, like, in the last 3 days, I saw the sign on the radio twice, and I'm like, yeah! And now it's ruined.
Singing a Nazi anthem, man.
God damn it. My thing, too, is that when people say shit like that, I'm always just like, it's a song. Like, okay, I will have this debate with Burton, like, every time, because he's always like, Prince is better than Michael Jackson. And I said, okay, I'm like, Prince is, you know, and then we list all of these things, and I'm a fan of Prince, don't get me wrong, but I feel like for me, Michael Jackson is just so much a part of, like, growing up, and, like, you know, the timeline of when I was younger, what was popular, you know what I mean, and, like, the whole, like, curly hair thing in the front, like, I totally tried to copy that, and I'm like, how do I get a Jerry curl, you know, like, all this stuff is, like, a 10-year-old, and, you know, I just think it's, and then he always brings up the, well, he did this, or, like, he supposedly does this, and, like, the man makes good music. That's all I'm talking about here. I'm not trying to look at his political views. I'm not trying to look at, like, his personal shit. I'm sure he's probably a fucking creeper, but I feel like so was Phil Spector. Mm. Have you ever seen that guy?
Yeah, he looks nuts.
Yeah. I'm like, that, you know, that guy's fucking done weird shit.
Yeah.
To people. No one's ever found the bodies. That's all I'm saying. But, I mean, he makes really good music.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like...
Yeah, it just seems so, like, where do you draw the line between just appreciating...
Separating the art from the artist, yeah, that whole thing.
Like, and I can understand the merits of, like, trying to figure it out, but I'm not going to pretend, like, I have and can, like, make a stance on it. Like, when it comes to the Baby It's Cold Outside, I always loved that song because I like more old-timey sounding stuff in general, and it's, like, an old-timey sounding Christmas song, like the Louis Armstrong Ella Fitzgerald one. Is amazing, but my sisters would make fun of me as children. This is just years and years and years ago. They're like, rape song, and I'm like, and now it's coming out, and I'm like, damn, my sisters were on it. Like, they'd just be like, oh, you listening to your creeper song? It's about a creep. So I wasn't, like, surprised. It was more like, the song has been out forever, and now it's a thing.
Right.
Right, like, now everyone's, like, super sensitive to everything, about everything, so.
Which, I mean, to a point, I think it can be a good thing, being more sensitive, but.
Yeah. I don't know.
Where's the line?
Yes.
One knows.
Part of me thinks, like, I don't know, I feel like people feed into, like, because, you know, the three of us can sit down and talk about this and be like, oh, people need to get a fucking life, and I feel like if I sat down with, like, 20 other people, they'd all say the same thing. So I feel like there's just an element of, like, this, I think it was a Cleveland radio station that did it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So
102.1.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like that was more of them just being like, well, we'll either responding to, like, one person, or just being like, we'll just avoid controversy, or even further, trying to get attention for the fact that they banned it.
Or all press is good press.
Exactly. So I feel like people...
Because, you know, no one's listening to fucking 102.1 in Cleveland. I'm just throwing that out there.
That's it.
Other than
now, they only play Christmas music from, like, November to January. And I hate it.
Yeah.
So now, oh, my God, that is a really good marketing thing, because they're probably, like, people listening to that radio station now just to make sure that they don't play it.
Yes, exactly. That. You know what I
mean? Policing them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's such a good point. Yeah. I mean, I just feel like when you feed into, like, extreme shit like that, it's, and then it makes everybody think, like, everybody's so sensitive, when really it's just, like, five people and
one person making a stink.
Yeah, exactly.
And they happen to have some, like, media sway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then that's, like, the whole Oscars thing too. Like, Kevin Hart got fired from hosting the Oscars because they found a tweet from, like, 10 years ago that said, like, he wouldn't want his son to be gay. And, like, it just, it's so insane to me that, like, people make a big deal, but then it's like, I don't think anybody really did. It was like, they said, like, the whole reason that guy got fired from directing Guardians of the Galaxy was because conservative trolls were like, he said this and I'm offended. And, like, it wasn't even that they were offended. They just wanted to, like, make a point about how easy.
I don't know what happened with that, but he was doing a good job.
Yeah. It's all bullshit. PC culture is boring.
Did you guys see, okay, I know I'm gonna like nerd out, but did you guys see the Avengers 4 trailer?
I haven't yet.
Not yet.
Oh my god.
Good.
Okay. Watch it. I liked it. it was like 2 minutes long. I'm like, I must watch it again.
Here, hold on. Hey babe, have you seen the Avengers 4 trailer yet?
Oh, like 5 times.
He just goes, oh, only 5 times.
He would.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I wish I was more into that stuff. My thing is, I think I have some, like, undiagnosed OCD where, like, I have to see all the movies so that I can feel like I know what's going on, and then I just get so overwhelmed by the idea that there's that many movies that I have to sit down and watch that I choose not to watch any of them, and I just shut down completely, so.
You can skip Thor. You can skip Thor, too.
I was late on the, I mean, I was watching, like, the Avengers and, like, a lot of the, like, the Marvel movies. And then, obviously, on the podcast, they talk about it so much that I was like, I don't know what they're talking about. So then I'm like, okay, what do I need to watch next? And they're like, what? And then they gave me this whole, like, spreadsheet of, like, what I need to watch in what order. And then, like, okay, then this and this. But before you watch that one, you got to watch Doctor Strange and this and this. And I'm like, okay. I don't know how much free time you guys think I have. And they're like, we should, and then we're gonna quiz you on it next time we see you. And
oh, hey, yeah,
yeah, man, quizzing, that's the best.
Speaking of you having free time, how's the I haven't listened to this week's episode. How's the them trying to find you a date going?
Oh god.
it's
oh god.
I think it's hurting my feelings more.
Oh no.
Oh. I have thick skin about it, and I'm not taking it, like, too seriously. I get it. But when they're always like, huh, weird, we thought we'd have more contestants. So people call in because we got to get this girl a date. I'm like, okay, can we word this a little different?
Yeah, let's keep making it sound, like, all desperate and weird. It makes me feel good.
Well, I think it started with we were talking about, like, dating or whatever, and they're like, well, what do you think? I was like, honestly, I'm the wrong person to ask. I haven't really been with anybody, like, since my divorce, like, in a serious relationship or any relationship or barely, like, a date. So they're like, what? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, I hang out with you assholes all the time. They're like, you can tell us no if you find someone to go out with. I was like, well, that's the thing. I don't find anyone that I'm really interested in or that, like, you know, seems like date worthy or doesn't already have a girlfriend or wife. So they're like, we'll help you. Don't worry, Stephanie. We'll help you. And I'm like, time out. I didn't ask for help. Hold on.
I want to make it very clear.
So far that people have, you can call into the, you know, Drinks with Larry podcast, and we have a hotline now. And you can call it in, and you can submit your, I don't know, I guess, if you want to go for a date at the Culture Saloon. But I feel like no guy is going to be like, yes, I want to do this with a group, the podcast sitting at the next table making fun of us.
Exactly.
Like, I think you guys are ruining this from the word go. Well,
unless he has something to promote or something like that. But, I mean, what I love about this is so classic, like, guy. Like, guys just want to fix things that aren't problems. Yeah. So it's like, I'm not dating anyone. Well, I'll fix that. Well, I didn't need, that's not.
Yeah, I'm cool with it being broken.
That's not a thing that I wanted to happen.
Yeah. Because we were talking about being lonely for the holidays, too. So, and I was, like, pretty much just mostly saying that it would be nice if I could come home to someone beside my cat that would just, like, give me, like, a back rub or a foot rub, put out my clothes for the next day, and then just leave. So I think what I'm looking for is mostly, like, a maid.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A maid slash masseuse.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I obviously humor them. They have the best of intentions, so that's why I'm going along with it. But I'm not really, I don't have really high expectations to find a date, so.
Well, I'm interested to see what happens anyway, and you're a good you're a good sport to do with those guys.
Thank you.
So, hey, do you have any social media or anything you want to promote?
Well, I'm obviously on Drinks with Larry, so you can find us at Drinks with Larry on Twitter, Drinks with Larry on Instagram. My Twitter is KermSherm17. Hit us up if you have questions. I don't know the hotline number, so you can't call into that. But if you go to Drinks with Larry on Facebook, you can find it there.
Yeah, it's a good show. It's funny because it kind of reminds me of like a, I don't want to say like a morning show, but like it's got a group of people. There's no real theme. You guys just talk about whatever. It's fun.
Like panel style talk.
Yeah,
show.
It's fun. It's funny. You shoot the shit. It's inoffensive.
It has a bell.
It does have a bell. We have a Aaron that eats on the microphone all the time. Yeah.
Man after my own heart. Steph and I decided we're going to have like a mini podcast that we want to try to do once a month called Boitus Interruptus, where we just talk over our male guest for 15 minutes. Yeah.
Perfect. It's good. I feel like at work, people interrupt me a lot, so I'm not allowed to really like be mean to customers. Obviously. So I feel like when people interrupt me outside of work, I'm always like, no, this is my time and I can't get in trouble for it.
Nope. Just stop it right now. Nope. Just a whole lot of nope. Yes. Drinks with Larry is a great podcast. You guys are on what is the name of your network that you're on now?
The Civilized Creatures Network.
That's right.
I probably messed that up, but I think it's Civilized Creatures Network.
Civilized Creatures. It's a great show. Everybody should check it out. Liz, do you have any social media you want to promote?
I am boring on social media.
So no?
I got like Elizabeth C. Seaman, and that's Instagram, but I'm old and I don't post
that. Okay, well, that's totally fine. Elizabeth and I, as well as Spider Jones, have SX1 Entertainment. We are a promotional thing that does comedy. Obviously, I'm well versed and established on what the hell. But at SX1 Entertainment,
local comedy.
Yeah, shows. Local comedy shows at SX1 Entertainment for shows and other bullshit that we are doing on Twitter and Instagram. You can find me at Epic Fall, EPICFAUL on Instagram and Twitter. And at Above Below Entertainment. Above Below Entertainment is our network. And thank you so much, Steph, for doing this again. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for having me again.
This is a good time.
I feel like I didn't have very much verbal diarrhea this time, so I feel like I wasn't rambling on as much, so this is good.
No, it's good. This was great. We had a good time, and
I hope you feel better.
Yes, feel better. Don't have a stroke during a nap.
Yeah, come see you at Pacatan's.
Yeah, we'll come everybody go see her at Pacatan's. Okay, love you, bye.